5 million years ago were animals, can kindle in our deserts, and if necessary upon the cities of our enemies, the very energy which lights the stars at night. Now, something peculiar is going on here. Something is calling us out of nature and sculpting us in its own image. And the confrontation with this something is now not so far away. This is what the impending apparent end of everything actually means. It means that...
Black revolutionary, and by definition, that makes me part of the Black Liberation Army. For Asada Shakur, underground is not the right word. It makes it seem too simple, as if there is an easy way to disappear, a place to go. Beneath the city streets, there is no safe passage. You moved among your people, a gentle wind, invisibly winding into their lives. Constrained a normal human response to daily injustice with an exhausting effort, a ballooning breath of anger caged inside, carefully choosing the moment of attack. And with muscles taut like the stretched skin of a drum, rode the subways between two businessmen studying your picture in the New York Times. Although we had never seen one another, I wondered how you liked to spend those moments when freedom meant you knew they didn't know. And during those last months when they hunted you hard, freedom meant you knew they didn't know. And during those last months when they hunted you hard, I was an invisible supporter working on another front, knowing of those tearing apart times when the days are like the flashes of a strobe light, and the earth turns with a racing rhythm, running the gorilla through the changes of a normal lifetime in a single month.
And if necessary, upon the cities of our enemies, the very energy which lights the stars at night. Now, something peculiar is going on here. Something is calling us out of nature and sculpting us in its own image. And the confrontation with this something is now not so far away. This is what the impending apparent end of everything actually means. It means that the denouement of human history is about to occur and is about to be revealed as a universal process of concressing and expressing novelty that is now going to become so intensified that it is going to flow over into another dimension. Thank you.
thee, Delilah, that I see.
She won't be kissing on you. Just so that you know. During the haircut, you don't get no kisses.
So let's see if we got any wild ones here.
Corey is Maxwell's girlfriend. That's his latest conquest.
Robert and I have always been rather critical of whoever we're having relationships with in our life. And I like Lola. You know, I really do. I like Lola, and I think she's been good for him. And then I sit back and I go, well, where did that come from that I've got that little kind of dig against her? And I truly believe it's just because we're very, very protective of each other. And I don't think anyone's good enough for him. And vice versa. I think he's always felt no one's been good enough for me. But yet we want each other to be happy and to find the love of our lives. So go figure, what are we supposed to do? You know?
She thinks she's human.
She likes you. She doesn't take to people real well.
Yes, she does. She's real sweet, darling.
I'd always lived my life as a gay man. I totally identified as a gay man before. I never even seen a vagina up close in person. I was like a little schoolgirl because I was pointing and looking at it. So, well, what's this?
So, you know, funny.
I knew more about it than he did in some way. I was telling you about the different parts where
you. Well, I'm not good at biology. You know, they're there, okay? I don't name them. I don't know what they are, so. And a good inspector, she did a good job as far as compliance looking at it.
Eleanor Halverstadt, a 30-year veteran of the USDA, was the official in charge of enforcing the new regulations in California.
When she had a problem at a plant and she would shut them down, we would send compliance in there to see if her actions justified shutting down that plant. And every instant they did. But life is, they don't like to be shut down. That's money to these people.
Elsa Morano is the Undersecretary of Agriculture for Food Safety in the Bush administration.
Given how contentious it can be in certain plants, does it make sense to have moved towards a regulatory system that gives those companies more authority over the inspection process?
The HACCP system does not give the plants any authority, responsibility. The authority is ours. We are the ones with the authority. We shut down plants all the time.
And when you were captured, sister, I wept for all of us.
What about a specific act of violence that you people have been involved in, like the Capitol bombing? Why did you bomb the Capitol?
A person, a voice that sounded to her like a male voice, who stated in a low, hard tone that you will get many calls like this, but this is real. This building will blow up in 30 minutes.
Can you go?
I'm sure Barnhart can arrange to hide me until the meeting tonight.
Where's it going to be?
At the ship. I'll look there. Army cars.
Full troops in full gear.
The alarm is out, all right.
It's only a few more blocks to Professor Barnhart's.
I'm worried about Gort. and afraid of what he might do if anything should happen to me.
Cass is an introvert. He's more isolated than what I am here. Now, he's married to a genetic woman. People assume since she was married to a transsexual, that meant that she had to be a lesbian, and there's not a lesbian bone in her body.
Last year alone, we took about 200 enforcement actions in plants in the United States. So we very much have the authority to do that. Our inspectors have the authority to follow their regulations and enforce them on a daily basis.
But the Office of Inspector General for the Department of Agriculture audited the new safety system and found that because of poor implementation, the USDA had reduced its oversight beyond what was prudent and necessary for the protection of the consumer.
It recalls to me Newton's concept of the so-called...
That's right, Joe.
...moving instant, that is the
very
present,
good.
Which is bounded on one side by the past and on the other by the future and moves inexorably through the dimension of time. Is that, in fact, the moving instant that, that your film
Precisely.
Is about?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. As a matter of fact, one of the characters in the film is named Newton.
Okay, we'll have now 3 minutes from the moving instant.
Gendu's tent and out into the moonlight. Nirvana, the nexus where love meets death. I passed workmen banging stakes into the ground and stopped before the cages of the wild animals. Then I strolled down to the sea. Were performing flips, handsprings, pinwheels, and somersaults at the water's edge. Then, suddenly, an explosion. And when the smoke cleared, there was nothing left but pointy hats. Nimbuses of red hair, rubber noses, pairs of overalls with tiny suspenders, and oversized shoes, scattered everywhere. I stood there, grasping my chest, afraid I'd have a heart attack.
Where's the beer?
Oh.
Oh. What time is it?
Oh. Time.
Oh God.
I never have enough time.
I can't even read the clock.
So. No, not enough time, baby, for all the things I want to do.
Yeah.
All the things I want you to do.
I'll make time, honey.
Right?
sounded, I must admit, very much, excuse me, sounded very much like any pornographic film, if you'll excuse my using that expression, that I've seen recently. What is it that sets that film aside from the run-of-the-mill film of that genre?
Well, I guess you haven't seen very many of love films lately, Joe.
I did notice the dialogue after the love scene when they talk about it.
There's so many subtle things in that. I just was realizing how nice it is when you say, where's the beer? And I say, in the kitchen. You know, the kitchen is the place where the woman has always been. You know, and finally, in some way, we've been able to get out of the kitchen and back into the bedroom where we belong. And there's a lot of really interesting things in there if you dissect it.
Also, I think the fact that the man is wearing a feather headdress and has a face of a clock drawn on his chest across his breast.
Excuse me. I didn't create you. I didn't get the 20 minutes of fun that made you. What's my definition? Crime. Are you convicted?
Yeah, you're so kidding, man.
You're convicted.
Do you know what crime is? Do you know that? Get Webster in the definition of crime.
What are you convicted of doing? Excuse me. That's very good. I got that in Psych 101. When we doing role playing 202, I got all that. But you gotta do what you told to do.
You must hear the truth sometimes. You speak truth partially, like you said you were a good house nigga.
Open out here. How you feel?
Tired.
You said you haven't been outside much.
No, we won't come over here.
What does it feel like to be outside? When was the last time you were outside?
I don't remember.
When I talk to him privately in the rooms, it's like a child is real hurting, and he's hurting inside, and he's got a lot in there he needs to rid, but it's no time for that in this type of a system. Because he's seen us a number, so that's why that thug atmosphere and attitude comes out.
Hey, Lady Wild as shit, man. Lady Wild as shit. I ain't mad at her. I ain't got no words for her. No, she the ward. I'm the inmate.
But she seems to have taken an interest in you. I mean, I don't know if that's just because you've made trouble, but I mean, she seems to feel, you know, especially amongst the younger inmates here, that there's still hope and that she maybe can touch some people. Maybe turn it around somewhere.
Maybe she sees something I don't see. She said she can see, I'm a change one day. Everybody say that. You see, I can change on. You know, I see it, but...
What if? How many men? What would it take? Is there a cheaper way to destabilize a regime?
I don't see nothing changing now. Things like it's getting worse. Ain't nothing getting better. It's getting worse.
He feels like he's in this world by himself, growing up by himself, no support. Although he has family members, they're not really supporting him. Because they're not really, they haven't supported him all the way up. And it's really disheartening because it's 15 or 20 of them like that on his same tier.
My mother was my father. I put it like that. My childhood was rough. My childhood was rough and easy. I could have got what I wanted. But I wanted more, you know. I wanted the clothes, you know. Wanted everything that everybody else had. I was all right, I'm saying. I had problems, you know. Wasn't no thing, though. I ain't even knew who my father was. That wasn't no problem for me, you know what I'm saying? I looked at it as, you know what I'm saying, fuck him. Put it like that.
You can feel it. You can feel it in your own dreams. You can feel it in your own trips. You can feel that we're approaching the cusp of a catastrophe, and that beyond that cusp, we are unrecognizable to ourselves. The wave of novelty that has rolled unbroken since the birth of the universe has now focused and coalesced itself in our species. And if it seems unlikely to you that the world is about to transform itself, then think of it this way. Think of a pond, and think of how if the surface of the pond begins to boil, that's the signal that some enormous protean form is about to break the surface of the pond and reveal itself. Human history is the boiling of the pond surface of ordinary biology. We are flesh, which has been caught in the grip of some kind of an attractor that lies ahead of us in time, and that is sculpting us to its ends, speaking to us through psychedelics, through visions, through culture and technology. Consciousness, the language-forming capacity in our species, is propelling itself forward as though it were going to shed the monkey body and leap into some extra surreal space that surrounds us but that we cannot currently see. Even the people who run the planet, the World Bank, the IMF, you name it, they know that the history is ending. They know by the reports which cross their desks that what the disappearance of the ozone hole, the toxification of the ocean, the clearing of the rainforest, what this means is that the womb of the planet has reached its finite limits.
Changing the basic diet of cattle. Instead of grass, cattle were moved into feedlots and fed primarily corn. This change has had enormous effects.
Why do we do this?
Creativity and liberty are brought right into your mind. This is a presentation of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and we are powered by the EFF Open Audio License. If you can hear it, you can record it. If you can hear it, you can share it. If you can hear it, it's yours. Unique way, am I? Today we're going to have a quick conversation with Mr. Li Tian. He is an attorney with the Electronic Frontier Foundation regarding the FBI, that'd be the United States Federal Bureau of Investigation, and Indy Media, that would be independent media, the Independent Media Center and the FBI. They have been doing a little bit of a dance up in Seattle. lesson in secret power and how you can sue people. You can take people to court. You can request things. But it all happens under the cloak of what's called a seal. If a transaction in court happens under seal, that means you and I can't talk about it. That means no one can talk about it.
Changing the basic diet of cattle. Instead of grass, cattle were moved into feedlots and fed primarily corn. This change has had enormous effects.
Why do we do this? It makes them grow much more quickly. And time is money in capitalism. So we've taken cows that we used to let grow to be 4 or 5 years old before we eat them. We've got it down to 14 months, and we're heading toward 11 months.
The goal of the feedlot is really to increase the efficiency with which the animal goes from 700 or 800 pounds to 1,200 or 1,300 pounds.
Haw runs one of the country's largest feedlot operations. He says feeding cattle a high-energy ration of corn instead of grass gives meat the taste Americans love.
Marbling occurs to a much greater extent with a high-energy ration, and marbling, which is the internal fat in the beef itself, is really what drives the flavor and the tenderness and the juiciness to a great extent. Itself is really what drives, which is the internal fat in the beef itself, is really what drives the.
Seal of the court proceeding. But that silence has been broken. Mr. Lee Tien will be speaking with us about what the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and IndyMedia, the Independent Media Center. We fling us in with what's going on there. Be wondering, what is the Electronic Frontier Foundation? What is the EFF? What is it all about? The EFF is not unlike an organ that exists within your body. You know how your heart helps pump blood through your body, your lungs help move air through your body. The Electronic Frontier Foundation seeks to serve as a vital organ for the health of cyberspace, preserving liberty, freedom of expression. Preserving these things as societies worldwide move on to the electronic frontier. You know, the internet really is an incredible place. It's a place where minds, your mind and my mind, can meet without many of the prejudices that usually come unconsciously when we deal with people in a physical environment. Cyberspace allows cultural communication. Cyberspace empowers communication. space disempowers distance. It collapses distance. It makes it so that you can have an everyday conversation with someone on the opposite side of the earth as though they were sitting right next to you.
Gort, I'm afraid of what he might do if anything should happen to me.
Gort? But he's a robot.
He's a product of centuries of refinement.
But what could he do without you?
There's no limit to what he could do.
Evacuate the building. This is in protest of the Nixon involvement in Laos.
We put a lot of work into our timing and our choice of target and our explanation for why we did it, and making sure that it would be an action that would reflect the sentiments and the views of the people who were in Washington at the time demonstrating, and also in particular to call attention to the fact that Congress was just completely in Nixon's pocket. There was nobody in Congress that was taking an honest or a principled or a humane position on and doing anything about ending the war in Vietnam.
That the human species has now, without choice, begun the descent down the birth canal of collective transformation toward something right around the corner and nearly completely unimaginable. And this is where the psychedelic shaman comes in. Because I believe that what we really contact through psychedelics is a kind of hyperspace. And from that hyperspace, we look down on... We look down on both the past and the future, and we anticipate the end. And a shaman is someone who has seen the end and therefore is a trickster, because you don't worry if you've seen the end. If you know how it comes out, you go back and you take your place in the play and you let it all roll on without anxiety. This is what boundary dissolution means. It means nothing less than the anticipation of the end state of human history, a return to the archaic mode, a rediscovery of the orgiastic freedom of the African grasslands of 20,000 years ago, a techno-escape forward into a future that looks more like the past.
The following is a holiday public service announcement from Mr. Ozzy Osbourne.
What are we reading here? I'm not into the... I don't know. Come along. Let me put it in another way. In the late 80s when... What I'm trying to say here, I've always said that it's bullshit.
Paid for by the Citizens for a Drug-Free America.
God bless you.
She's real fun, my 401. She's real fun, my 401k, my 401k. I'm saving up my pennies for a rainy day.
Build it up, 401k.
It's only 6% of my total pay.
Give it up, 401k.
The rate they give me blows those banks away.
401k.
Sign it up, 401k.
Sign it up,
401k.
Sign it up, 401k.
Sign it up, 401k.
The company matches it, taxes can't touch my 401k.
Statement really makes my day.
Build it up, 401k.
I can hardly wait till I'm old and gray.
Cash it in, 401k.
My tax sheltered compound, a direct deposit, 401k.
401k. Sign it up, 401k.
Found herself at the mercy of a man every bit as perverse as she. And how swiftly pleasure is taken from some and given to others.
Me to write for curative purposes, to stave off my madness.
But you've no right to publish behind my back without my sanction.
Have you truly read it, or did you run straight away to the dog-eared pages?
Oh, enough to discern its tenor.
And
it's not even a proper novel. It's nothing but an encyclopedia of perversions. Frankly, it even fails as an exercise in craft. Characters are wooden, the dialogue is inane, not to mention the endless repetition of words like nipple and pike staff.
There I was taxed, it's true.
And such puny scope. Nothing but the very worst in man's nature.
I write of the great eternal truths that bind together all mankind, the whole world over. We eat, we shit, we fuck, we kill, and we die.
But we also fall in love. We build cities, we compose symphonies, and we endure. Why not put that in your books as well?
It's a fiction, not a moral treatise.
But isn't that the duty of art? To elevate us above the beast?
I'd have thought that was your duty, Abbe. Not mine. One more.
Very nice. When I again count to three, I am going to ask that you conceptualize or form an image in your mind of yourself with all of these suggestions in place. Conceptualize or form an image in your mind of how you want to be. One, two, three.
Tenderness and the juiciness to a great extent.
The flavor is back.
Feel it now. Feel the motivation for it.
Juiciness to a great extent.
The flavor is in the fat.
The flavor is in the fat. My guess is that could you interview a steer and ask him whether he'd rather be out in the pasture or in the feedlot? I think the vast majority of them would vote to be in the feedlot.
In the feedlot?
Yes.
Why?
Well, a very nutritious and very palatable diet is delivered to them upon demand if health problems come up, which do. They're treated immediately. And all of their wants and needs are really taken care of in a very pampered sort of a way.
The problem with this system is that cows are not evolved to digest corn. It creates all sorts of problems for them. The rumen was designed for grass. And corn is just too rich, too starchy. So as soon as you introduce corn, the animal is liable to get sick.
Feel the commitment to it. Look for a feeling of being comfortable with it.
Pollen says that it's not just the diet, but the conditions of the feedlot that make it more likely cattle will get sick.
fellow patients to consider. If Charenton falls, they've no place to go, no manner in which to clothe or feed themselves.
Fuck them! They're half-wits and pinheads. Let them die on the streets as nature intended.
You among them.
That the inmates are indeed running the asylum.
You.
There's no limit to what he could do.
In line with the attack on rational optimism in part one, the poem quoted at the beginning of part two implies an attack on the kind of romantic optimism in which a prostitute can be saved from a life of sin.
As we go deeper now, I would ask your subconscious mind, that inner genius, listening to my voice, to accept these suggestions, this image, these feelings, as how you are, how you feel, how you prefer, how you automatically manifest your reality.
Which a prostitute can be saved from a life of sin by a few words of kindness.
That make it more likely cattle will get sick.
Feedlot is a city of cows. It's cattle pens, black earth, as far as you can see. Of course, it's not really earth, you learn as you get a little closer, it's manure. I mean, they're standing around in their manure all day long. When they go to sleep, that's what they lie down in. They're forced to exist with their feces all the time.
Cows tend to produce feces. Those bacteria are spread around. There's ample opportunity for bacteria to be spread from one cow to the next. Larger feedlots, there's a greater chance for passing the microorganism back and forth. All of that contributes to spread of a microorganism such as E. coli 015787.
YMCA, East 14th Street, 2 a.m. Can't sleep. The straw in my mattress needs replacing. I lie here, my notebook lit by the flashing neon sign across the street. I try to remain calm, impassive. Emotion is a sign of decadence. Greek sculpture starts to decline as soon as statues begin to smile, to show any expression in their eyes. Yes, it's true. We only maintain dignity by striving against our own nature. But what is our nature?
Future, because materialism, consumerism, product fetishism, all of these things will be eliminated, and technology will become nanotechnology and disappear from our physical presence. If we have the dream, if we allow the wave of novelty to propel us toward the creativity that is inimical to the human condition. This is what we're talking about here. Psychedelics as a catalyst to the human imagination. Psychedelics as a catalyst for language, because what cannot be said cannot be created by the community. So what we need then is the forced evolution of language. And the way to do that is to go back to the agents that created language in the very first place. And that means the psychedelic plants, the Gaian logos, and the mysterious beckoning extraterrestrial minds beyond, hooking ourselves back up into the chakras of the hierarchy of nature, turning ourselves over to the mind of the totally other that created us and brought us forth out of animal organization.
Any specifics about that action? How many people were involved in it? Anything about the way you operated?
I think it's important to say that people volunteer to carry out actions like this. And people are chosen on the basis of political consciousness primarily. Did you catch my face? Just
no,
that
I got it.
Are you sure?
We'll find out what happened. Several people volunteered to do it. To get past security, they had to carry it in on their body in a certain kind of way, and then as they were putting it in the place where it was supposed to go, it fell. There was a ledge where the people who did it thought there had been a shelf, and it fell several feet, and when the people who were there realized what had happened and that they were still there, they took a couple of deep breaths and came out. And that evening, the members of the organization made calls and alerted the press that this action was going to take place, and then it didn't happen. It didn't go off. The fall had in some way affected it, and there was no explosion. So the organization had a series of quick calls around the country and came up with a plan, which was to take a much smaller device and go back in and put it on top of the one that had been put there the day before, sort of like a little starter motor. And the same people went back in again because the people who did it called in and already claimed that we're going to do it. the second time in was tremendously more dangerous and more difficult.
No one knows exactly where the E. coli bacteria that infected the Jack in the Box hamburger originated. Study estimates as many as one quarter of all cattle in feedlots have the dangerous E. coli in their gut.
We're here to talk about basically open and or closed, the future of technology and how that applies to musicians and the internet music industry and the non-internet music industry and all that sort of stuff. We have a pretty distinguished panel here today. We actually do focus a little more strongly, I should say, up front on the open side. We were not able to get someone from Microsoft nor Real, unfortunately. But we'll go with what we got. So we're going to let everybody introduce themselves real quickly, and then we're going to go right into the conversation. Here we got Don Marty.
Hi, I'm Don Marty from Linux Journal.
And happy to
what
be
else?
Here.
Excuse me?
Never mind. Okay. Next to him is Chris.
I'm Monty from ZIFF.org. I'm a lead developer on the Ogg Vorbis project. And while people here have generally been focusing on sort of the Western front of intellectual property and copyright law as applies to net music, I've sort of been fighting on the Eastern front, which is making sure that the technology itself is open and serves the public need as opposed to being used more as a business tool or a business weapon in the for the purposes of corporate interests.
Could you tell us for a second what Ogg Vorbis is? That's a pretty funny name.
Ogg Vorbis is our open codec technology that is has been in beta since June. Beta 4 should be coming out soon. It seeks to provide an alternative to MP3. MP3, as people are some people are aware and others are not, is not actually free. And having started at the beginning of this year, all MP3s offered for download or used in streaming are now subject to licensing fees. You not only pay for the encoder, you have to pay for the right to use the music you encode.
So you're creating something of value, but you're giving it away for free. How do you make any money?
To control diseases in large feedlots, the meat industry uses massive amounts of antibiotics.
City is swarming with patrol cars, hunting you. How can we tell them?
We are somehow part of the planetary destiny. How well we do determines how well the experiment of life on Earth does, because we have become the cutting edge of that experiment. We define it. And we hold in our hands the power to make or to break it.
Here is our lovely
lady of the world. Rest yourselves free to turn your badges, taste your shoes.
To the young maidens of the world, rest yourselves free from the tyranny of virtue and taste without shame the pleasures of the flesh. Male power lies in the clench of a fist. But a woman's power lies elsewhere, in the velvet cavity betwixt her thighs.
It's late, Simone, darling.
put your poems aside.
Will assume random patterns and linear constructs of cause and effect, which presumably are realistic matrices.
Lady. And she had this see-through blouse on. We were just at the grocery store because we were hungry. We were going to fix something healthy for ourselves. And she was looking at mushrooms, and this rather tall, average-looking man, but with an accent, came over and looked at her breasts and said, "My, what beautiful mushrooms." And she said, "Well, thank you." So we were waiting to have our groceries checked out, and there was this woman with him, and he said, "Why don't you both come to dinner to our house? And we're cooking these hams." They had these huge hams, and they were going to cook them all that night, the two of them. And we thought, well, why not? You know, we don't have an enormous feast prepared for ourselves. Why not? So they gave us the address. We went home and talked about it, and didn't think that there would be anything wrong with going over to have dinner. And so we went over. And they both greeted us with hello and come in. And she was cooking in the kitchen and talking, and conversation flowed very easily. I went outside and he was cooking the hams and began to kiss me all around my face and on my neck. And I thought, this is very peculiar. This man's wife is right in the kitchen there. What am I doing? And there was this magnetism that was just incredible. So I couldn't, it was like, I didn't want to stop. But the part of me said, this isn't right. This woman is. Well, so I finally eased myself and around into the kitchen, and my girlfriend was outside, and she came back in and said that she had, I guess, experienced something similar out there, and that she, well, that happened to me too. And we all had dinner and wine. We had this feast that was delicious, and we were, I just kept feeling a tactile sort of feeling under the table as dinner was nearly over. There was lots of rubbing and moving of legs and feeling of legs, you know, lots of with the foot across the table, and we'd still be talking and sort of lounging about.
But it's not true. Some actors are know a lot about economy, about architecture, about, I don't know, how to grow oak trees, travel the world on a boat or whatever.
Some actors do.
Yeah.
Most of them you think are that way? I mean, in other words, you find most actors interesting because
I love
they're
actors.
Not one-dimensional.
I love actors. Even if they're dumb, I love them.
Should we have lunch and then go shopping?
And the next thing I know, was right off the kitchen there was this little window. The floor, and he said, come here, I want to show you the moon. So I went, and that's how we began this most unusual fantasy. And we all looked at the moon, and we all sort of touched each other, and it turned out to be quite a remarkable evening.
Bisexual.
I want to try it.
Bisexual.
I want to date a bisexual. I want to date a dyke. I want to date a bisexual. I can't decide which sex I like.
Is it wrong?
Is it right?
You feel weird?
I'm uptight.
Is that strange?
Let me say, man, guys were never my scene, but I do like. Show tune.
I want guys.
I want girls.
Why deprive
half the world?
Am I gay?
Am I straight? I don't think I'm a Peter Pan. Nancy for your girly man.
Cause all I wanna be is bisexual. Bisexual. Bisexual.
I just might be a
bisexual. Bisexual. Bisexual.
I think I might be bisexual. There's nothing I don't like. I want to try it bisexual. I can't decide which.
Bisexual dating's the end thing today.
That Brad Pitt's such a cutie, oh yeah.
Taking your swings from both sides of the plate.
You get twice as much booty, oh yeah.
On your mark, get set, go!
For the apocalypse. This is not a pseudo millennium. This is the real thing, folks. This is not a test. This is the last chance before things become so dissipated that there is no chance for cohesiveness. We can use the calendar as a club. We can make the millennium an occasion for establishing an authentic human civilization, overcoming the dominator paradigm, dissolving boundaries through psychedelics, recreating a sexuality not based on monotheism, monogamy, and monotony. We all these things are possible if we can understand the overarching metaphor which holds it all together, which is the celebration of mind as play, the celebration of love as a genuine social value in the community. This is what they have suppressed so long. This is why they are so afraid of the psychedelics, because they understand that once you touch the inner core of your own and someone else's being, you can't be led into thing fetishism and consumerism.
You must listen. If anything happens to me, you must go to court. You must give him this message. Klaatu Barada Nikto.
This is beginning to go like a lot of the early interviews when the media first noticed the project. We don't make money. The idea is that this is commodity infrastructure that serves the need of the public, serves the public good, and also serves business good. It's not just individuals that need access to the technology that the people are taking for granted. Smaller businesses are being squeezed out by larger businesses. The whole problem with one company controlling what up till now has been the fundamental architecture of music on the net is that now that the company has realized they've got something that's worth money, they're going to milk it for whatever it's worth. And there's nothing fundamentally amoral or evil about that, but it's also going to suck all of the energy right out of the movement that is online music. MP3 got where it was because it was, for practical purposes, if not for intellectual property purposes, free on the net up until very recently. And now that it's no longer free, people will continue using it out of inertia. But anyone who's trying to make money off of it, or anyone who has a business that uses it, even if it's not necessarily making money, suddenly this isn't yours to use. This is yours to pay for, which would be fine, except for the level of outside commercial control that's now being exerted over the format. The fact that it costs money is not such a big deal. The fact that another company can say, we choose not to license it to you, or we choose to license it to you, but for different terms than we've licensed it to everyone else, is mildly disturbing. And aside from that, you know, it's just now that it costs more money, we're suddenly in an economic situation where money no longer grows on trees, if it did for a short period of time. And the fact that radio companies, which until very recently, although they may not have done so extremely successfully, have been living on essentially advertising revenue. Advertising revenue no longer pays for the streams.
Including low doses mixed in the feed that help animals grow faster. Biotics. To control diseases in large feedlots, the meat industry uses massive amounts of antibiotics, including low doses mixed in the feed that help animals grow faster. At least half of all antibiotics sold in the U.S. are used in meat production.
I'm here with the company, sir.
You seem perfect for it. Are you perfect for it? Are you perfect for it, Mr. Higgins?
I've tried to be, sir.
You recruited out of school?
No, sir. Company interviewed a few of us in Korea. You served with Colonel Donovan in the OSS, didn't you, sir?
I sailed the Adriatic with a movie star at the helm. Doesn't seem like much of a war now, but it was. I go even further back than that. 10 years after the Great War, as we used to call it. Before we knew enough to number them.
You miss that kind of action, sir?
No. I miss that kind of clarity.
The message of psychedelics is that culture can be re-engineered as a set of emotional values rather than products. This is terrifying news. And if we are able to make this point, then we can pull back. We can pull back and we can transcend. 9 times in the last 1,000,000 years, the ice has ground south from the poles, pushing human populations ahead of it. And
continues right across my back. The longest sentence you'll notice runs the entire length of my inseam. And it all completes itself at the base of my right shoe.
I've learned how to survive this thing. It's proper weapon technique.
Take this beast back to his cage.
Don't tell me you've come to read my trousers. Well, please don't keep me in suspense. What'll it be? 50 lashes? A night on the rack?
I won't sully my hands with him.
Nor should you. That's the first rule of politics, isn't it? The man who orders the execution never drops the blade.
Robin?
Hi, I'm Robin Gross. I'm staff attorney with the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and I specialize in intellectual property matters. So I sort of work on the legal aspects of, like he was discussing, he works on the technology aspect. I work on the legal aspects of these issues.
I should mention I'm a big fan of the EFF. I think they popped up and have done an admirable job attempting to protect civil liberties in cyberspace, and hopefully, the Future Music Coalition can last as long and much longer than EFF has up until this point. So thank you for being here. Mike?
Yes, my name's Mike Shin, and for lack of a better term, I guess you could call me a hacker. I am a partner and a founder of an information security company, and my industry depends on the free exchange of information. The security community is very open about things that we discover and vulnerabilities and whatnot. And I'm also actively involved in the privacy community. I've been running Epic's Anonymous Remailer for a number of years. I'm also heavily involved in a lot of open source projects involved in creating technologies to keep people what they do private, in essence.
Daniel?
My name is Danny Weitzner. I'm with the World Wide Web Consortium. For those of you who don't know, W3C is a standards group that sets the technical standards for the web. So we started with HTML back in around 1994. The other ones you may know of are XML. A particular interest to the music community and the arts community is a standard called SMILE, Synchronized Multimedia Markup Language, which has some interesting codec issues associated with it. But it is our attempt to do an open standard for multimedia on the web. And I'm here because a number of W3C members are interested in looking at rights management architecture issues on the web, and the most important thing to me is that at W3C we maintain the tradition that we've had where we include the broadest possible input in the design of what the web's going to look like in the future. I think that the web has only succeeded so far because there's been tremendously broad input into the design of the underlying infrastructure, and I hope we're going to kind of pick up on the themes that we heard earlier, that the architectures chosen here really are going to matter a lot for what you all do and for all users of the web. So if there's anything I hope I can convince at least some of you of is to get involved in the work that we're doing on developing what the web looks like in the future and to make sure that it meets the needs that your community has.
And you're both a technologist and a lawyer?
Yes, or neither, depending on how you look
neither.
At it.
Neither.
Would you be willing or able to explain the difference, because I'm sure a lot of people don't know, the difference between open source and an open standard?
Well, I'll start, and I'm sure others on the panel will jump in.
People ask me who I am. I tell them this. My mother was from Mississippi and my father was from Alabama. I tell them this. My brother was born in St.
Here
Louis,
are the standard
and so was
three
I.
Possibilities
we both like school
of self,
and my mother's
or glance,
apple pie.
Or feeling.
My Uncle Flood from Louisiana played the harmonica blues, and my Aunt Willie Mae bought me a pair of Buster Brown shoes. I grew up in Chicago in a South Side neighborhood, and I visited my neighbors whenever I could. I graduated from high school and from college too. Then I soon found out there were many things I could do. Now I'm a singer of folk songs, and I enjoy it a lot. But I had to work hard for all that I've got.
Into the building years, you are still within the threshold. Yes, the threshold of the liminal years. Those years between the world that is and the world that will be. Between the current world, with its mix of nightmares and dreams and mediocrities in between, and the new world, with its positive futures of dreams and visions. The new world, with its virgin futures of magic and miracles.
Twisted and aggressive.
I've loved all kinds of strong tobacco. Oh, baby, let's travel. Oh, baby, let's roll. Cause soon we'll be pointing right down the hole. I'm sure we'll find a runway of the mind where each silk parachute is dated and signed. Make sure everything is locked. Let the key down in the box. Leave it behind. We'll rent a fine car, we'll drive to the sea, where the octopus poses for just you and me. and on our last night, we'll take a long stroll and disappear forever right down the hole.
And developed two alliances. Dominion was the first, and in the natural progression of things, an alliance with mystery was sure to follow, and it has followed. With the apparent chaos of energies and forces at work this year, 2002, with the wild and wonderful dance of your universe's forces and of your nature's spirit, it is time to turn to the third ally of the progression of liminal years. Yes, with this new alliance, what could otherwise lead to a quagmire of turbulent storms and unrest can instead become a gateway, a passageway with which to rise above the tumultuous din, to break free, becoming more powerful, more successful, to break free, becoming happier and even freer, forever free, forever free, to be the map-making magicians, the enlightened exceptional ones, the enlightened exceptional seekers that you've always intended to be. We'll say again, with this new alliance, what could otherwise lead to a quagmire of turbulent storms and unrest can instead become a gateway, a passageway, a portal, a window, a door, whatever you wish to call it, become a portal with which to rise above the turbulent sin, rise above the tumultuous, to break free, becoming more powerful, more successful, becoming happier, becoming even more free, forever freer, to be the map-making magicians, to be the enlightened exceptional ones, to be the enlightened exceptional seekers you always intended to be. Oh, yes. The third ally. The third ally. It begins with dominion. It follows with mystery. And now the third ally mastering. The third ally mastering the art of creation and manifestation. Yes, it is about creating and manifesting, but more, the ally is about mastering, mastering the art of creation, the art of manifestation. The alliance, seeded as the art, reveals itself and foments as you go about mastering that very art of creation and manifestation itself. The alliance, seeded as the art, reveals itself and foments as you go about mastering that very art. And a year greets you, 2002. It is a year of creation, but it is not only a year of creation, it is also a year of manifestation. Now, perhaps this year could be called a year of mastery, but it's not. That would be too narrow. Yes, for you, the magicians and mapmakers, for you, mastery will be key, even critical to your sometimes quiet, sometimes boisterous, sometimes subtle and many times not so subtle pursuit. But beyond mastery, or different than mastery, it is alliance, yes. An alliance with creation, an alliance with manifestation, an alliance through the art of creation and manifestation, an alliance that you seek. Besides, it is important to remember that this year is not designed only for you. It is designed for everyone. It is designed for all of humanity, as is each year.
When you say, I don't know how I do it, all you are saying is, I do know how to do it, but I can't put it into words. Translate the activity called opening and closing my hand. An exact system of symbols. So there's something a lot more to you than you think there is. Why, the Hindu would say that the real you is the self, capital S. Self of the universe. Because at that level of one's existence, one is not really separate from everything else that's going on.
I guess the first term is something that has at least something that approximates a real meaning, and the second term I think is more or less the buzzword. Open source is an effort to, as I think most people here probably know, to develop software in a way that's really unencumbered by intellectual property rights, to harness what Evan Moglen, who sat over here, pointed to as the kind of anarchistic energy and create a model for innovation along those lines, free in particular from copyrights that prevent people from exploring ideas, and patents that prevent people from exploring ideas and deploying them. Open standards, I think you'd be hard-pressed in the technology world to find something that anyone would call a closed standard.
WZBC out of Newton. Original point, the point of origin. Of course, I only give half the picture. And I've shuffled it, but such is the life of a dealer. Here in the rigged house, at least on this side of the bi worlder triptych, separated at the quarter pole by the river Styx, gets you over to the other side of the same half. Just keep that in mind. Got a lot of relearning to do. Some of it just takes some damn time. Gotta let it tell you to come to it. We is EBC, the house of chaos. From this side, 90.3. Little curlicues in the graphic there in front of you, following along. On our graphic media, it's two dimensions to you. Not to me, I'm the giver here, and I got a lot of math going on here, which you can get under the table, unless you've got a lot already going on under the table. I know you do. You're in the Matrix. Part one of at least a five-parter, I gotta say. Quadrophenia plus the connector. The connector is very busy with all this separating going on. New metaphysics. The name on the indictment. In the docket, in legal terms, on paper, registered with the quartermaster of the Central Command Control. I do hate to, I do try to avoid those junctions. I'd like to at least pretend to participate in the Black Curtain. Out of Newton, aptly named for the fig. Came to a mashing end early in the last century, driven under the heels of the little system that could. It's all many people know. And you know how all slash ellipse no comes down around here. The Matrix. Human time space. Little curly cue of an original non yet straight groupings of, to use words from the Matrix, lines. More than Euclid could dream of, but he did get out of the single line only. A lot of good it did him. WZBC.org, 64 streaming groups of data per second coming in through the open door for you, unmetered, uncookied, unregulated, except for the algal rhythms of the emulation of all that is domain. Crystal, very clear, very biased, racist, prejudiced, you might say, system. In emulation mode, now and forever, only. Don't kid yourself. Trying to do a yeoman's task for humanity around here. Emulating the Crystal Palace, home of step-down versions from where it all begins. On the loop. Matter of circuitry, I believe. Yeoman's task, like a yoke, in emulation of so please forgive the errors here in the Matrix. Little system that could and I got swampland for you down on the peninsula for you where value itself was taken away from home sent straight to Hollywood for us and the Indian version as well on the east. Where it all can become on the rebound. A couple more matrices coming up. About the Matrix. NewMetaphysics.com for you. I'm dealt in. Got to put in the W's. It's a little man's sight. Using the big man's army. Three W's and then NewMetaphysics.com. Soon in the QuickTime server, disguised as a QuickTime movie without graphics. That's the package. Coming soon. And of course, the little sister site, studio475.com/newmetaphysics. Don't you dare put in those W's on that one. That's the Mac site. 1/10 the effort of a Windows site, of course. Since Windows is the old world reaching out from, and Mac and open source, the new world version, attracting to really just a matter of eroticism.
Klaatu Barada Nikto.
Remember the one key concept, the one road that gets you there from here. That concept from which any other variant, including the Geiserman variations, can come. One key concept from which all other concepts can not come. Say it now briefly. You'll have then heard it, and I'll not make cult slaves out of my echoed self. On the performer's journey. Each one creates and or allows their entire reality experience. That's all. I want a 2-page paper by tomorrow expanding that concept. Just do a little conceptual analysis. I know it's a very un-American thing to do, but you must stretch. One key concept that can change all other concepts upon application. Except the mysteries, of course, and the paradoxes. But of course, you chose all of them too.
Cut Klaatu Barada Nikto.
Other people call standards, they don't like closed standards, but generally no one who develops a standard identifies it as closed.
Yes? Thank you. It's being held at New York Center. Higgins, you do understand the company's position. There's nothing in the way of your doing this, is there?
So I think open standards do get it at some notion about what's important about standards, which is that standards are about interoperability, and they have to be open at some level or another so that the people who are using them, the people who are building software and building services based on those standards, can all work together.
The problem in the digital domain arises because there are no products, only processes. No more metal, my friends. No more single or double-edged swords to worry about anymore. Study Microsoft's behavior. Encapsulation of domination reality, the Matrix, in all its glory. A great opening act, if ever there was one.
There's no secret.
Wick showed you my report.
What report?
Yes.
It was your network I turned up. Doing what?
does operations care about a bunch of books? A book in Dutch. A book out of Venezuela. Mystery stories in Arabic.
Wait.
What the hell is so important about... Oil fields.
Oil. That's it, isn't it? This whole damn thing is about oil. Wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Don't turn for a moment. Put your thumb in front of the hammer. Release it slowly. Sit down the gun on the desk. Quite good, Condor. I'll do this. This move was predictable. Touch anything except the chair. You're working for the company again. Desk. Lamp. They took you back. Just for this. That would. How? He's for the company. Why? I don't interest myself in why. I think more often in terms of when. Sometimes where. Always how much. I suspect it was about to become an embarrassment. Yes, you are. So you're not finished. Pardon? Oh, no, I have no arrangement with the company concerning you. They didn't know you'd be here. I knew you. Didn't you send the mailman? That was a business arrangement with Atwood. Did you see? Tell me about the girl. What about the girl? She was chosen. How? By age? Her car? Appearance?
At random. Chance.
Really? Can I drop you?
I'd like to go back to New York.
You have not much future there. It would happen this way. You may be walking. Maybe the first sunny day of the spring. And a car will slow beside you. And a door will open. And someone you know, maybe even trust, will get out of the car. And he will smile. A becoming smile. But he will leave open the door of the car and offer to give you a lift.
You seem to understand it all so well. What would you suggest?
Personally, I prefer Europe.
Europe?
Yes. Well, the fact is, what I do is not a bad occupation. Someone is always willing to pay.
I would find it tiring.
Oh, no. It's quite restful. It's almost peaceful. No need to believe in either side or any side. There is no cause. There's only yourself. The belief is in your own precision.
I was born in the United States, Joe. I miss it when I'm away too long.
I pity.
I don't think so. Is it any trouble to drop me at the Union Station?
Oh, no. Would be my pleasure.
But I think that open standards is really more of a kind of a marketing concept than a practical, operational, legal concept.
Part of it's a little disconcerting when the microphone suddenly comes on. Part of the distinction between. Part of understanding open source, this comparison is often used, and I don't know how many people here have heard it before. There's a difference between free speech and free beer. Open software is free speech. You not only have access to the way the software works, but you have the software itself. It is something that belongs in some form or another to the public, and you have the right to modify that software for your own purposes, improve it, or simply just to have the power, the access to that software, even if it's something that you don't have the skill set to work on yourself. At least you have, for example, the choice of which mechanic to take your car to. This is something different from that's free speech, and the other side of things would be free beer. For example, WMA, Windows Media Architecture, is a great example of free beer. You're handed the keys to a car. You're allowed to drive it for free. If it breaks down, you can take it to one dealership who may or may not charge you in the future. And at any point in the future, suddenly those keys that were handed to you for free may cost money. You know nothing about that car. You're not allowed to accessorize that car. It's handed to you the way to use it. You probably wouldn't be allowed to drive the car in certain places. You're not allowed to take the car over a certain speed. And since we have a marketing deal this month, you can only go through drive-ins at Wendy's. But the car is free. Free as in beer. When free beer runs out...
It's very simple. In capitalism, it's called dumping. For market penetration... Dump it cheap now, control the infrastructure of marketing, and then you command and control it later. Microsoft 101. Microsoft does it in everything moving. Way beyond the internet now for them. Since high tech is becoming the industry of the world, after pornography, the Fourth Reich, Microsoft. Don't ever underestimate it. Ever. If you do, you're a fool. And think like an American. Forget the free beer, free car, free analogies. Capitalism 101. Arithmetic. Command and control. A system for morons. With a club.
What did you get? The free beer was only free as long as the beer lasted.
But scientists fear this is creating serious problems for cattle and for humans.
Because of the large amounts of antibiotics we're using, we are developing increasingly resistant microorganisms, and we are reducing our ability as physicians to treat patients who come into us with infections.
The World Health Organization has declared antibiotic resistance one of the three top threats to public health.
I don't think there is any hard evidence that immunity is transferred to humans, but the possibility of it is an awesome thing.
Feedlots are the first stage of industrialized meat production. The next, meatpacking, is even more centralized. Today, four giant companies control 84% of the beef market.
How do we account for the curious title of part two, apropos of the wet snow? I think this title provides a clue to the real meaning of the novel. We first hear of it at the end of part one.
Perhaps I will get relief from writing. Today, for instance, I am particularly oppressed by a certain memory from the distant past. It came back to my mind vividly a few days ago, and since then has remained with me like an annoying tune that one cannot get rid of. And yet I must get rid of it. I have hundreds of such memories, but at times some single one stands out from the hundreds and oppresses me. For some reason, I believe that if I write it down, I will get rid of it. Why not try? Besides, I am bored, and I never do anything. Writing will be a sort of work. They say work makes man kind-hearted and honest. Well, here's a chance for me anyway. It's snowing today. Wet, yellow, dingy snow. It fell yesterday, too, and a few days ago. I rather think I remember the incident I cannot shake off now, apropos of the wet snow. And so let it be a story apropos of the wet snow.
no longer spread your insidious gospel. From now on, you will not even write your own ignominious name.
Are your convictions so fragile they cannot stand in opposition to mine? Is your God so flimsy, so weak? For shame!
Don't flatter yourself, Marquis. You're not the Antichrist. You're nothing but a malcontent who knows how to spell.
Went back in, and they put the little one in, and it worked, and it ignited the big one.
Absolutely. Weather Underground bombed the Capitol. They bombed the Capitol to bring joy, to bring joy to America. Joy, to bring joy to America. Joy, to bring joy to America.
I didn't like the life of the grown-ups, and sometimes the life of the grown-ups didn't make sense to me. It still doesn't make sense to me, but that's not enough. I really had to, as though, and I'm sure that's it, I'm sure that once you are given something, when you have a gift, a piece of land, you have to take care of it.
Instead of complying with the new standards, they sued the USDA.
And this wasn't just any ground beef plant. This was a ground beef plant that was supplying as much as 45% of the meat for the National School Lunch Program. I mean, this meat was going to be sold and served to kids.
remote viewing sessions, you're actually beginning to deal in telepathy, because that's the distinction between physical clairvoyance over physical remote viewing.
And well, and when you began to report
this, visitors coming out to SRI to see what exactly all this implied, you see.
Yes, I did.
And pretty soon everybody knew what it implied, and I have a cute little story, if I can tell it. I had to go to the bathroom one day, so I went in the men's room and was in a stall, and two visitors, as we used to call them, walked in, and one was raving about what progress had been made, and the other one said, yes, but you know, they're going to be able to read our minds before too long. And I knew that was probably going to be the end of our project, at which it was. And the discovery process of this, I think, was, I'm almost certain that it was ended because of this new threat, as it would have been called.
All right. All that being said, and
tolerated throughout history. So there's a big historical background to that, and you're right. Everybody runs, in this government, everybody's whatever runs on secrecy. And you can be psychic or a trained remote viewer, and you can talk about buildings and rocks that have drugs hidden underneath it, and this and that and everything, and people would consider that useful in the way they operate.
Mm-hmm.
But mind reading means you're going to read not only the minds of the people at the target sites, but you can read minds, period. And things come to a screeching halt at that point while they consider the implications, and the implications are too terrible to consider.
Joy to America, to bring a smile and a wink to all the kids who hate the American government.
Yeah.
show percent for M180+V/$ ZDRD carried MRI DB4M asterisk.
So that becomes more important than any potential national security problem.
Personal interests or organized interests, vested interests, are always going to be more important than anything.
Everybody has skeletons. Everybody into the mass consciousness.
In the 60s, when I was working at the UN, you know, I did a lot of reading. I was always interested in these things. And the first thing that I really got interested in reading about was the power of prayer. And mm-hmm. It is the goal of the power of prayer to interject something just like you've described. That's the big goal of it.
Yes, but
an important issue.
And a loaded question.
And a loaded question, but you can get around the edges of this anyway by saying, yeah, the power of prayer is to heal, to interject something into a declining situation that reverses the vector and brings it back to health.
Give him this message. Klaatu Barada Nikto. Gort. Klaatu Barada Nikto.
Rushmore, I carved them.
Well, Jesus said, he that is for me is not against me. You don't seem to be for the gospel of Jesus.
No, I believe in another religion. So what?
What religion is that?
I'm Jewish.
You're Jewish religion, huh?
Jesus was.
Uh-huh.
What's wrong with
Jesus
being... Wait a minute. What's wrong with being another religion?
What's wrong with being another religion? Well, I'll tell you. Now, you say, is God a God of truth? This is how he's typified in the Old Testament. A God of pure truth. Is that right? Jehovah God?
Actually, I'll take it back. I don't belong to any religion because they're all bad. Every
God
one of them.
Okay, let me tell you why there's only one way to God. And logic will tell you why there's only one way to God.
It's not logic.
That's not religion. That's God-fearingness.
See, God is pure truth, is he not? Let's just assume that. Build on that premise.
Do you know when you
So this man's of a different religion. This man has a different religion. This man has a different
they're
religion.
All filthy devils.
And they all have a different religion, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, none of them agree alike. No, there's
Wait
not
minute,
one religion
do.
That agree alike.
No, they do. They have different forms.
Approaching God, they don't agree a lot.
Is that right? Basically, every religion is the same. You have different ceremonies.
There's many ways in New York, but once you get there, it's all the same place.
Even though you believe that, I can still bring my point across.
Here's my point.
See, that God is pure truth.
Okay, what happened before Christianity?
If you try to diminish and obscure that truth, then you have defiled God and what he is and what his personality is.
Okay.
Let me get my point across.
Yeah, I get your point.
You see my point?
I see your point.
So there can't be, if God is pure truth, there can't be more than just one religion.
Wait a minute. What is a religion?
Because by saying that God is pure truth and saying there are many religions, you're saying that there are not.
I'm saying there are many forms, there are many roads to get to
God. You don't understand what I'm saying.
I do.
How do you tell guys
that there's only one way to God because God is pure truth? There can't be many ways to God, because God can. He'd be lying. God would be lying if he said, this is the way, this is the way, and this is the way, and this is the way.
He didn't say this is the way at all. First of all, what is God?
God is pure truth, is what I'm saying.
Right.
God cannot be defiled. By the opinions of man, God still maintains his holiness.
If a man is true to himself,
can God
why
lie?
Does he need a religion to get to pure
if
truth?
If God can lie, he'd be depraved. He'd be just like you are, see?
You're talking about God as if he's a man. You're saying there's no real truth to God.
God is a liar.
I don't look up to look for God.
Let me say this. I generalize because of this. I know that man doesn't want to promote himself in life. He wants to add to his position in life, and it's not. It's not fashionable to not endorse homosexuality or drugs or permissiveness or premarital sex. Most people believe in this on the students. Everyone that, and I've been preaching for 5 years. Stanford, University of Portland, Portland State, Cal, Sacramento.
It really is. I mean, you can't tell people that
they'll
see devils
definitely,
you know?
Well, they are. Because you talk about drugs.
You didn't even know.
Jesus Christ ate a certain type of mushroom. And there were also moldy bread
around that period, which could be compared to acid.
That's nothing to do with it, man. Because if you spoke to me, just you and me, about your life, would you listen to me?
Who knows,
brother?
Why don't you quiet and let the gentleman speak?
Because every time I speak, you turn away.
No, okay, I'm sorry.
Now, if you spoke to me about your life with God and how it went about it, I would tend more to believe you than you spouting off what Russia did or what the United States did. Everybody knows what's going on around the world, but the Spirit of God is within. This body is the temple that has the Spirit of God. Jesus, as I told you before, was a man just like you or I, but he had that Spirit of God at that time.
Now, what did you get? The free beer was only free as long as the beer lasted.
It's your father.
Point about what I think is the importance of the open source style of working. I think that without understating, the web wouldn't be here at all, but for the kind of open source energy that has made it actually develop into what it is. It simply wouldn't be here. Now, that's not to say that every single technology in the world needs to develop that way, but I think that as we look at
Thank you. So,
Dad, so what are you doing down here then?
I came to see my son. Is that all right by you?
Yeah, sure, that's okay. I mean, I like to see any time I can. I've been busy lately, though. I've had a lot to do.
Yeah.
Listen, since you're here, I mean, I wasn't planning on bringing this up, but since you're here, maybe we should talk about something. I've got something I want to talk to you about.
Sure, I'm your father. That's what I'm here for. I'm listening in my son.
Really, what I want to say is that I have sort of like an announcement to make. I'm converting. I'm not a Jew anymore. I'm becoming a Gentile. You know, like Christ. I mean, being a Jew just doesn't make sense to me anymore, and being a Gentile does. I've discovered the joys and of being a Gentile.
Oh, Dad. My son.
I hoped you wouldn't take it that hard.
I got a son once, but ain't got no boy today.
Look, Dad, I mean, let's try and see it from my point of view. I've got...
My son is gone.
I've got polo now.
My son is gone away.
I've got church socials, Dad. I never had church socials as a Jew.
But they put you in the bottle, so now you're not a Jewish?
Yeah, they baptized me. It's sort of nice, actually. I mean, you don't get too...
Do it, but we dug it.
It was outrageous, I think. It looks to me as if it was a planned explosion on the basis of where and how it was evidently placed. And I think it was a sacrilege because I speak not in a religious sense, but in a public sense, because this is the house of the people.
Man.
Excuse me?
I do so admire men with an appetite for books.
Madame, how could you? Have you read this volume?
I've memorized it.
There comes a time in a young lady's life when she must cast books aside and learn from experience.
That, monsieur, requires a teacher.
Not only for you, but for everyone. In different ways, with different meanings, with different forms and functions, and with different energies. For everyone, for all of humankind. So though it might be tempting to call it a year of mastery, it is in fact the alliance with the art of creating and manifestation that you see. And therefore it is a year of creation and manifestation, indeed. What is creation? It is one of those words that everyone assumes everyone else knows, and thus is sure he or she knows its meaning as well. But be that as it may, what is creation in reference to a year, in reference to this year? What is creation in the context of something that is an art? An art to be revealed, to be mastered, and out of it, an alliance to be formed. What does it mean? We begin to answer this question on the next 12 months, continue to answer this question. But we begin by saying this. Creation has several faces or aspects. Creation has several faces, each of which offers a different avenue. A different avenue through which to bring something into existence. It seems obvious, one says. Creation has several faces, each of which offers a different avenue through which to bring something into creation. Production, development, and formation, reformation, are three of such faces, three of these faces. They are the three stable or solid faces, each of which offers a venue or avenue of transmuting and transforming. Transmuting and transforming what was into something that will be. Each production, development, formation, reformation, each offers a venue of lifting something new from or out of something old. Now, originating, inventing, innovating, the present and fluid phases of creation also offer avenues, but they offer avenues to lift nothing into something. Something unique that otherwise would not naturally exist, would not naturally be. The solid faces. Avenues to lift something new out of something old. Originating, inventing, innovative, the present, present participles, and the present and fluid faces of creation offer avenues of lifting nothing into something. Something unique. Something that otherwise would not be. Now, between the solid and fluid faces, in that energy between the solid and the fluid faces, in what could be called the shadow by some, maybe by most, there is another face. We call this the lost or hidden face. The lost or hidden face of creation. And people, it is in this face that you will find the alliance you seek. Yes. It is in this face that you, the magician, not everyone, but you, the magician, will find the alliance sought. Not everyone within the consensus will be seeking that alliance, not as fervently, not as overtly, not as consciously as you. And not everyone in the consensus, even if seeking, would find it here. But it is in this face that you will find the alliance, in the hidden and lost face of creation, that you will find the alliance that you seek, though not everyone will. It is in this face that the art of creation can indeed be revealed. In the rapport with that aspect or face of creation, you can develop mastery. Yes, you can develop mastery of that art. But such is not for everyone. Such is not for everyone within the consensus reality. But for everyone, you and others as well, for everyone, this is a year of creation. It is also a year of making that creation more obvious and self-evident, of making it more apparent. It is a year to work with the faces of creation, that's true. It is a year to work with creation, to become more aware and to understand the faces, to become more aware and understand creation. It is a year of creation, we say again, but it is also a year of making manifest, and therefore of manifestation. Yes, yes, yes. It is a time for manifesting things, the new out of the old, the new out of nothing, as well as the new out of the mystical and the mysterious. That is so. But it is also a year, this year is a year to make obvious, to make apparent, to make the skill and the art of creation itself more obvious to people, more apparent to people, to make such skill and such art manifest by making the art of creation more conscious in the heart, more conscious in the minds of humankind.
Haven't you seen a man naked before? beloved reader, prepare yourself for the most impure tale ever to spring from the mind of man. Off you hop.
Depart! To my beloved reader, prepare yourself for the most impure tale ever told. To my beloved reader, prepare yourself for an impure tale. Bonjour. To my beloved reader, prepare yourself. I've an impure tale to tell.
Prepare yourself.
Bouchon, what did you say?
Prepare yourself. I've a tale, an impure tale.
Our story concerns the prostitute Fonchon, whom nature had equipped a tight, tiny fissure between her thighs, the most fine cleft arse ever molded by the hand of God.
Fonchon was a prostitute with a tight, downy fissure between her thighs and
the most finely cleft arse.
The most finely cleft arse.
My glorious prose filtered through the minds of insane. Who knows, they might improve it.
It's about a harlot named Fonchon.
It's about a harlot named Fonchon with a downy fissure.
One day, Fonchon's first client was a surgeon. He ran his fingers across her naked skin.
Ran his fingers over her naked skin.
Yes, I've got that bit.
What should I make ready? Asked Fonchon. My mouth, my arse, or my succulent oyster?
What shall I make ready?
My arse or my succulent oyster?
None, cried the surgeon, brandishing his scalpel.
Yes.
Which hole? My mouth, my arse, or my succulent oyster.
For I'll carve new orifices where there were none before.
None, cried the surgeon. I'll carve new orifices where there were none before.
With that, Fonchon expelled a scream so extravagantly pitched that the surgeon was obliged to tear out her tongue.
Fonchon expelled a scream. Extravagant pitch.
With that, the extravagant bitch screamed so loud.
She screamed so long and so loud.
She screamed, so he felt he should. He ought
to seal the wound. He took a poker from the fire.
A poker?
Tear up her tongue.
He took a poker from the fire. From the fire.
He took a poker from the fire. From the fire.
He took a poker from the fire.
Come on.
Fire.
What's the next bit?
The words. Tell me the words.
Fire.
Fire! Open all the doors! Let the patient out! Take the floor!
things like that. And that could only happen if, first of all, if interconnectivity did exist and that you could interject something into the interconnectedness of all things.
Well, that's exactly what I'm asking. Now, think of it on a gigantic scale. The situation in the Middle East, for example, deteriorating bad. Could somebody inject in the mass consciousness, if done correctly, some sort of concept that would have a chance of reversing what otherwise seems to be inevitable?
Well, this is very hypothetical.
ZBC out of Newton, New Metaphysics. Right train, wrong track. Don't forget to get your embedded special prize in each MP3.
I guess all that we perceive, all that we see around us, that was the concept of the Matrix. In the movie, there was, of course, science fiction, but it was, you know, a projected thing that the world looked a certain way when actually the world had been utterly destroyed ecologically and so forth and so on. And it was a wasteland, but to everybody else it looked clean and nice, and everybody was living their everyday life, and it was all being done in their minds. It was some matrix of, you know, a presentation of a reality.
Mm-hmm. WZBC.org, streaming audio. NewMetaphysics.com with the W's in front. Preserved in the time envelope of the concept of past. Studio475.com/newmetaphysics. Fuck the W's. Coming soon, QuickTime streaming server, as well as the usual MP3 file download.
That's just not the five physical ones, but all of our sensing systems that are now known to exist through the science of studying receptors, which is, I'm going to talk about this down in Austin, by the way. All our sensing systems are sending about 10 million information bits to our brain every second. But only 40 of these get into the cortex, where consciousness is formed. And we form our consciousness about what is perceivable within the cortex. And we're only doing 40 bits per second out of all these 10 million
wow.
that are coming into us.
FM out of Newton, Massachusetts, northeast part of the landmass, a little bit of the Orient, and the Occident. That should explain a lot. I dig it. The erotic humidity of the East during part of America. Escaping the heartland, Iron Lung, the Grateful, it's over there. And definitely escaping the steel rods of the West Coast, masked with an overlaying fatty layer of exposed marrow. Overlaying the iron encapsulated maiden on the west of the west. Where eroticism goes to die.
There's a book that came out in Europe a little while ago and finally got to the United States called, it has kind of a strange title, it's called The User Illusion by a guy named Tor Norritanders. And in this book he is reporting up to date on everything that's known about how consciousness is formed. If information doesn't get into our cortex, we will not perceive it.
So in other words, then, Ingo, does that mean that we only perceive a very tiny, by percentage, a tiny bit of what we might be able to perceive we were totally connected, yes?
Yes, but the surprising aspect of this is this was known since the 1950s, by the way.
Wow.
So if you can get information bits into your cortex, which is, you know, this is the outer part of the brain which wraps around the back of your head and across the top of the head, and it's just a layer of neurons and synapses and things like that. And if you took it out and unfolded it all together, it would be about 21 square feet. Anyhow, this is where our perceptions are made, and the perceptions are made about based upon the information bits, the few, very few information bits that gets through to the cortex. When you have an unusual situation, such as your high fever and things like that, probably your perceptual connection to your physical universe declined just a bit.
It sure did.
Faded away.
Mm-hmm.
And this allowed, in these 40 bits, to come through information based upon other potentials that you and everyone else has. And so you undergo these altered states of consciousness, as they're called. But this book, The User Illusion, you know, I believe that all remote viewers should keep up to date on conventional research, which is actually increasingly substantiating the reality that things like remote viewing and sensing other realities just goes on in us all the time, except that our cortex and our reality boxes filter out everything that doesn't fit with our reality boxes,
mm-hmm.
unless there's some great change of some kind, and then you begin to experience these other things. And since you don't have any information about that these are natural processes, you get apprehensive and scared and frightened, I guess, or something like that. But the basis for consciousness is now really very thoroughly understood. And the basis for the millions of different kinds of receptors that we have is increasingly understood. And it just includes everything that we've been talking about tonight, including remote viewing.
Gentlemen, is there any indication that consciousness continues following physical death?
Boy, you like to segue from one imposing situation to another one, don't you?
That's my business, yes. It really is. It's the ultimate question, isn't it, with regard to consciousness, whether it ends like...
Anybody who's had a clinical death experience with a flat brainwave who comes out of it can talk about that really good. Yes, it does exist.
house.
It's a crazy, fucked up world. And we're all just barely floating along, waiting for somebody that can walk on water. Crazy, fucked up world, and we're all just barely floating along.
Oh, Julie, right on time. Have any trouble finding the place?
No, it was easy. My, what a nice apartment you have.
You mind if I put on some, you know, romantic music to sort of get us in the mood? I mean, for dinner.
Oh, that's nice.
Thank you. It's one of my favorite CDs.
And you know what else is nice? Huh. That aroma. Kind of minty. What is it?
Oh, well, that's a subtle mixture of witch hazel, lemon, mint, tea tree, thyme sage, and grapefruit seed extract.
Are you cooking with that?
No, I put it on my rectal area. It's nature's simple solution. I always use it before an important date. First impressions count, you know.
I'll say. Mind if I have a whiff?
No, go right ahead.
Mmm, that's really nice.
Yeah, and it's very easy to use. I just apply it with a tissue up to 6 times a day, and it cleanses the rectal area, eliminating unpleasant odors, and protects it against irritation, too.
That sounds great. Mind if I sniff again?
No, not at all.
Do you mind pulling down your...
Sure.
Okay. I hope you don't think I'm too forward.
No, I like a girl who appreciates a clean, fresh-smelling rectal area.
Oh, I just can't get enough. Bend over some more. I want to get even closer. And
oh, you could, yes.
Can you spread them out?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The nose is kind of cold.
Nature's simple solution. The rectal deodorizing lotion for you. Cleanses and protects. Ask for it by name. In case of bleeding, consult a doctor. Do not put this product into the rectum by using fingers or any mechanical device or applicator.
That can walk on water.
About it. You know, in English, we're very limited in our nomenclature, so we have to refer to everything like this as consciousness. But there's different kinds of it based on different kinds of information and so forth and so on. And believe me, these biological bodies could not operate unless there was a super type of consciousness that was doing the operational thing from the subconscious level.
Manifestation more conscious in the hearts and mind of humankind, and to make it a more acceptable part of human nature or of human grace. You see, the universe's energies and forces, along with nature's spirit, will work together. We'll work together in such a way that humankind will feel the yearning and the urges to create, or to deal with and explore the concepts of creation. People will long to create changes, or for others to create changes in the world that, for them, for example, changed forever on September 11th, 2001. People will long to create personal changes, to bring about safety, security, but also to create, and we put in quotes, something more, or something beyond, as we close the quotation marks. Not only is it safety and security that people will seek, but they will also seek to create something more and something beyond. Something more and something beyond that truly matters to them. Now, words may not accompany these urging and longing. Perhaps confusion will mask the truer motivation, that is so. But these urging and longings will be there. Some among those will sift through what is the rubble of their lives, or through what they presume to know. Searching, yes, searching. They will find the peering faces of creation looking back at them. Some will sift through the rubble of their lives. They will sift through what they presume to know about life and living it. And in their search, they will find the faces of creation. They will find those faces peering back at them. That's what some will do. Others of this group will look beyond what they know, will look beyond the rubble and look beyond what they know, and they will confront and encounter creation's faces looking back at them. Frightened or intrigued, they will run away or run toward the some and the others among those will run. Now that's what some and others will do in this year of creation and manifestation. Some sifting through the rubble, sifting through what they presume to know. Others looking beyond the rubble, looking beyond what they know. That's what most will do. And they will find those faces either peering at them or find themselves confronting or encountering those faces. And the some and others will run away or toward, but they will run from those faces of creation. Fewer will seek to reform the systems of their world, the systems of your world. Education, trade, communication, information systems will all be suspect, will all be focuses of attention. The allure of reforming such systems will capture the attention and become the focus of creation during this year. Of the many, some will sift through the rubble, others will look beyond the rubble, fewer will look to reform. Of this fewer, there will be those who will look to the solid faces, production, development and formation, as a way of dealing with education, trade, communication, information systems. They will look to create something new out of something old. And of this group, there also will be those, even fewer of the few, if you will, who are courageous enough to seek reform, to move beyond production, development, and formation, to seek reform through the fluid faces of originating, inventing, innovating something out of nothing. Vis-à-vis education, trade, communication, information, etc. Now of this entire group of fewer, whether they seek the solid faces or the fluid faces, there will be those who will enter the arena of creation and manifestation, either hopefully or helplessly, excited about the opportunities, or in an abysmal state, feeling that there are no opportunities, but they must indeed, in despair or helplessness, hopelessness, try something anyway. Of these fewer, there will be those who enter this arena of creation and manifestation either hopefully or helplessly. They, among this group of fewer, will emerge entrenched. Some will be entrenched in their tangled prisons. Others will be beautifully entrenched in their liberating visions.
Above the hammock, looking down at yourself lying in the hammock, looking down at yourself standing next to the hammock. You see the you lying in the hammock going even nicer, even more pleasant, even deeper into hypnosis. You see the you standing next to the hammock going even deeper still. The sound of my voice will take you even deeper into hypnosis if you wish. The suggestions I offer now, enter the you floating above the hammock, where they are instantaneously fine-tuned and relayed into the you standing next to the hammock, where they are projected with the full power of your mind into the you lying in the hammock, where they are accepted at a level of the mind deeper than thought to become how you are, how you prefer, how you automatically manifest your reality. You do not like to overeat. You do not want to to overeat. You do not need to overeat. You stop overeating. You see food as fuel for your body and nothing more. You see your body as the vehicle of your life, and you treat it accordingly. You eat only when you are hungry. You stop before you are full. Clean your plate. The old use of food for anything other than nutritional need is a thing of the past.
U.S. copyright law.
The U.S. copyright law. The U.S. copyright law. U.S. copyright law.
You know, there was an earlier time when people copied whatever they wanted and never worried about copyright.
There's been a long tradition. A lot of art. Taking things.
How can he do this?
In modern art.
How can someone take something so blatantly?
In modern art.
Appropriate it, whatever you want to call it.
And relocating them in works of art.
And say it's okay to do that.
Because it's too expensive.
But they were asking for like ridiculous amounts of percentage and royalties and all that sort of thing.
How can he do this?
Because it's too expensive.
In the end, they realized that the tone of it, they didn't like it, so they didn't want us to use it, however much we paid them in royalties.
Hello, Dead Dog Records.
And I get a little bit riled when I see people say that their particular dissatisfaction with the artistic behavior of an act entitles them to, quote, mutilate the songs as much as possible, unquote. I'm sorry, this is the result of people's hard work. This is the result of creative effort. And if you have any respect for the creative act, you must respect copyright. You must respect the role of the creator.
I want to make a record.
I really don't care about the artistic goals of your project.
I want to make a record.
And if you have any respect for the creative act, you must respect copyright. You must respect copyright. You must respect copyright. And you must respect the role of the creator.
I want to make a record.
I really don't care about the artistic goals of your project.
I want to make a record.
And you must respect the role of the creator. I really don't care about the artistic goals of your project.
Keep your evenings free, because I'm making that record.
Sue everybody!
Well, it was inevitable that the matter would wind up in court.
This is music really is wonderful. I'm proud to be a part of it.
Why'd you call so late? We were worried about you.
Likewise. The car for me?
Yeah, it's all right. Safe. I have a few hours of debriefing.
Hey, Higgins?
Yeah. Let's say, for the purposes of argument, I had a .45 in one of my pockets. And I wanted you to take a walk with me. You'd do it, right?
Which way?
West. Slowly. Stay in front of me about 3 or 4 steps.
Where are we going?
Wave them on ahead. Do we have plans to invade the Middle East?
Are you crazy?
Am I?
Look, Turner.
Do we have plans?
No. Absolutely not. We have games.
That's right.
We play games. What if? How many men? What would it take? Is there a cheaper way to destabilize a regime? That's what we're paid to do.
Walk on. Go on. So Atwood just took the games too seriously. He was really going to do it, wasn't he?
Renegade operation. Atwood knew 5412 would never authorize it. There was no way, not with the heat on the company.
Well, what if there hadn't been any heat? Supposing I hadn't stumbled on a plan. Say, nobody had.
They're a ball game. Fact is, there was nothing wrong with the plan. Well, the plan was all right. The plan would have worked.
Boy, what is it with you people? Do you think not getting caught in a lie is the same thing as telling the truth?
No. It's simple economics. Today it's oil, right? In 10 or 15 years, food, plutonium, maybe even sooner. Now, what do you think the people are going to want us to do then?
Ask them.
Not now. Then. Ask them when they're running out. Ask them when there's no heat in their homes and they're cold. Ask them when their engines stop. Ask them when people who've never known hunger start going hungry. You want to know something? They won't want us to ask them. They'll just want us to get it for them.
Have you found a home? 7 people killed, Higgins.
The company didn't order it.
Atwood did. Atwood did. And who the hell is Atwood? He's you. He's all you guys. 7 people killed. And you played games.
Right. And the other side does, too. That's why we can't let you stay outside.
Well, go on home, Higgins.
Go on. They've got it.
You know where we are. Just look around. They've got it. That's where they ship from. They've got all of it.
What? What did you do?
I told them a story. You play games? I told them a story.
You poor, dumb son of a bitch. You've done more damage than you know.
I hope so.
You're about to be a very lonely man. It didn't have to end this way.
Of course it did.
Hey, Turner. How do you know they'll print it? You can take a walk. But how far if they don't print it?
They'll print it.
How do you know?
Thank you. was like that. A real asshole when it came to reading into things. He liked to wrap things up in a neat little packages that implied the world. See, Sean was fucked up. Not the world. The world was just confused. And not the world, really, just the people in it. Bob was confused, and more, Bob was paranoid as fuck.
And having undergone a clinical death experience in 1972, I can say, yes, there's consciousness after death.
And what did you experience?
Oh, I was coming down with the flu. I was staying with the Putoffs down in California. And we had two, what we used to call East Coast scientists, coming to test me further the next day. And I was coming down with the flu, so I took a penicillin pill, hoping to get rid of it. And in about 4 minutes, I underwent anaphylactic shock and died, and was dead for 21 minutes.
21 minutes.
And floating up on the ceiling of the room and going out and being on the roof and coming back. So I said, you know, I'm not ready to die yet. So, and was screaming in Putoff's head to what to do and try and things like that and everything. And eventually he did it, and which was turned me over and stick his finger down my throat.
You're telling me you had not only the classic experience of floating on the ceiling or even out of the building, but
right.
But you were screaming telepathically to Hal Putoff.
Well, I was trying.
Well, and apparently you succeeded.
Well, I don't know. He just was. They called the ambulance, of course, and. So when he stuck his finger down my throat, it caused an autonomic response in my body, choking, in which I got a breath of air. And then they dragged me to the toilet because I started throwing up and everything. You know, dying is a messy experience. I can tell you that. And that's how they found me when the ambulance guys got there. And
wow.
Dragged me off to the Stanford University Hospital, where I was doing EEGs for the next 4 hours to see if I had any brain damage or anything like that. So I was out there. I did not see the white light, and I did not see anybody waiting for me. So it was not really a typical type of thing. But
and yet you do recall being above your body.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing your body.
Yeah.
Can you remember the state you were in? Do you have any?
Yes, it was practically nothing. A piece of nothing that had 360-degree vision in all directions.
Uh-huh.
A little point of something.
So you were seeing everything at once.
Yep.
Would be a way to put it, wouldn't it?
Yep. And furthermore, I more or less accepted it as my real natural state in that condition.
The energies and forces of this year will present themselves, will express themselves and reflect themselves in such ways as to generate consideration, initiation, the need to control, and the reality of greater clarity and purity will present themselves such as to generate the consideration, initiation, the need to control, and to generate the reality of greater clarity and purity around the ideas, the concepts, the energies of creation and manifestation. That is, during the ensuing months, there will be those who will begin to consider that they need to take some steps, or that they need to start taking action
to make their lives safer, to make their lives more secure, or to make their lives better in whatever way they define. They can no longer weigh it for others. They can no longer wait for organizations, groups, individuals to do it for them. They must do, they must act. The consideration of creation, of creating something new out of the old, creating something new out of nothing, the consideration of creation is there. And during this year, 2002, the consideration of creation is where it will begin for many people. Or else there will be those who will start realizing that they need to get moving. They need to set their long and well-laid plans into motion. They need to initiate creation by getting down to business to learn how to create, how to be creative. They will respond to this year wanting to learn to create stuff and then to follow through, to actually make it obvious, to make it evident, to manifest it in their lives. More than considering creation, the initiation of creation is where this year will unfold. Now, fear, pain, terror will be the backdrop for those who dance with creation in search of another method, of a more powerful means of gaining control. The taint of domination will twist the energies and forces of this year. The taint of domination will twist the energies and forces of this year. The potentials of consideration and initiation will pass by, or they will be missed. The need for control will surface. The need for control will surface and demand its place as it lurks among the solid faces, as it lurks among production, development, and formation, reformation. As it lurks among the solid faces of creation. For the many, be they some or other. For the few, be they entrenched in their prisons or in their liberations, this year will bring about three distinct expressions. It will bring about consideration of creation, as though for the first time. It will bring about initiation, setting in motion projects and ideas in the foment of creation. And for some it will bring about the need to control. But out of it, whether consideration, initiation, or the need to control, there will be a greater clarity and a greater purity when it comes to issues and concepts of creation and manifestation. But you see, you are not the many. You are not the fewer. You are the magicians, steeped and well-versed in the ways of magic, in the knowledge that you do create your own reality. You are the magicians of the current and future age, for whom each year is a year of creation and manifestation. You don't need to consider the possibility or initiate the potential. You don't need to seek opportunity to control. You have already reached the clarity. You have already touched the purity of creation and manifestation in your world. Most people of the consensus will come to the consideration, will come to the initiation, or the need to control, and using creation as a means to do that. They will come to it, and out of it can find that greater clarity and purity, but that's not you. Each year is a year of creation and manifestation for you, as we say. You don't need to consider the possibility or initiate the potential. You don't need to seek the opportunity to control. You have the clarity. You have the... Oh, yes, you do. Yet the energies and forces of this year will have impact, will have influence on you as well. For the magician who is beyond the many and beyond the fewer for the magician, for you. The energies and forces of this year will present themselves, will express and reflect themselves in such a way as to generate change. Not the need to control, but the need to change. The energies and the forces of the year will express and reflect themselves in such a way as to bring about the urge for implementation and the state of being more conscious, as well as the state of greater consciousness. The necessity or desire may be the seed, but ultimately preference and curiosity may replace the obvious motivation. Among the magicians such as you, there will be the urge, new and renewed, to change his or her life, to change his or her community or family, to change the world. The state of the world and of the energies and forces flowing into the world's domain will bring this urgency in mundane or esoteric ways to those among the magicians. The urgency to change will flow among the mundane or the esoteric ways, but it will flow. The need for change will surface and demand its place as it waits among the solid and fluid spaces, as it waits among the production, development, formation, reformation, originating, inventing, and innovating faces of creation.
Both graduated college after taking summer classes, a major feat considering our aim in college was to be as destructive as possible. Our mission after leaving high school as two aspiring young punks, I think like the only two punks in Salt Lake City at the time, was to go to university and bring down the system. Why? Well, for obvious reasons. Anarchy, the only system of government that seemed to make any sense to us at all. And the irony was, well, we had made it through. I did well, even. My father was hell-bent on getting me to go to Harvard Law School like he had done when he was a kid. My father tried to get me to go right after I graduated
Steve,
high school.
Thank you for giving us an hour of your time. Your mother and I found this to be rather important. Finished high school. Thank God. Now it's your time to do good. This rebellion thing you're going through, I understand it. Not completely, but I respect it. Now you should think about what is right for you.
I mean, be free, darling. Always.
Yeah, be practical, Steve. You got a chance to go to Harvard. You got me as an alumnus that can't
hurt.
But
only if it makes you happy.
Look, if you want to rebel there, you can do it. I was there. I went to Woodstock. Me and the guys had a lot of fun. We did our thing there. We got behind some causes, though. We fought for some very strong causes. We ended, collectively, that goddamn war in Nam so that guys like you could be free. There's all these possibilities for you, Steven. Carry the torch now, okay? I can see by looking at you that you're ready. Proud of the fact that you're an individual?
Very proud. So proud.
One thing. This may not be easy to hear, but the hair. Maybe tone it down a bit. The whole thing that you're doing. In my day, it was, you know, hair, long hair, beatniks, paisley. You know, that stuff. And, not liked, that kind of thing. This whole thing you're doing, this statement about the American Indian you're doing, I'm baffled. And not just me. I mean, I'm saying regular guy in the street is going to be baffled, too. And we're hip, we're cool. It's just those guys on the East Coast are never going to get it, you know? They're not going to get this in New York, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, Jesus, darling, we sound like our parents.
Yeah. It's difficult, dear.
We just want to support you.
100%. Take the ball and run with it. Make a difference.
But always with love. Remember that, Stephen. Always with love.
Oh, time out. I just want to ask real quick, if I can. You believe in rebellion, freedom, and love, right?
Absolutely.
Rebellion, freedom,
yes.
Love.
You two are divorced. So love failed. Two, Mom, your New Age are clinging to any kind of scrap of Eastern religion that may justify why the above-said love failed. Three, Dad, you're a slick, corporate, preppy-ass lawyer.
I don't really have to say anything else about you, do I, Dad?
Four, you moved from New York City, the mecca and hub of the cultural world, to Utah. Nowhere to change nothing, more to perpetuate this cycle of money, greed, fascism, and triviality. I mean, your movement of the people, by the people, and for the people got you nothing. You just hide behind some lost sense of drugs, sex, rock and roll. Oh, kumbaya. I am the future. I am the future of this great nation, which you, Father, so arrogantly saved this world for. Look, I have my own agenda. Harvard, out. University of Utah, in. I'm gonna get a 4.0 in damage. I love you guys. Don't get me wrong. It's all about this. But for the first time in my life, I'm 18 and I can say, fuck you!
Steven, I didn't sell out, son. I bought in. Keep that in mind. That kid is gonna make one hell of a lawyer, huh?
Yeah, he takes after his father. He's a son of a bitch.
Fuck you, dear.